for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM, streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint, Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Network Physical Therapy. Let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
And good, beautiful evening here in Stanton, Kentucky. It is April 26th, and it is absolutely gorgeous. Temperature probably around, what, in the 70s?
Yeah.
I think the forecast only in the 60s, but it's, again, today has improved over the forecast by about 10 degrees. Yesterday was the same way. It may get cool tonight, but it is absolutely gorgeous today. So I know Powell County Baseball is on the road tonight playing Lee County, so good luck to our Pirate. They'll be starting, should be right now.
Yeah. It's funny, as far as the weather, with the exception of going back to this past weekend, we got some rain on Friday, but that, in many respects, helped. We needed it, especially up at Natural Bridge, but helped improve the field where it was so dry. I think things got a lot better. And this weather, again, absolutely beautiful. Just enough breeze, too, to where it kind of takes a little bit of the heat out of the picture, but nonetheless, great weather for us all.
Well, it would be my bad luck is, as far as softball, I know we're going baseball first, but every night we get to play, it doesn't seem like it's this nice. It's
true.
We played Monday, and it's like 48, and now it's this, and we're off today. So, again, we're off. Play tomorrow, it's supposed to rain, and we can't ever schedule around beautiful days. Baseball's got it lucky. They've had two back-to-back beautiful days to play. I guess somebody's telling us not to play, I guess.
Well, and even going back to Friday, when they had their game on the boys on Friday, it rained, came through, but then at that point it kind of cleared out a little bit and turned out to be a beautiful evening.
Yeah, our field was in good shape after Friday's rain. On Saturday, we put about 15 bags of turfus on the field to get it, some puddles dried up, but the field was perfect after that, after the turf was put on the field, and we couldn't have played on a better field on Saturday. And I tell you, sometimes rain is beautiful, and it was this weekend. Again, the gorge, like you said, Red River, the Natural Bridge area, who had some, what, hundreds of acres of
forest,
our natural forest burned. And again, sad, and would like to thank all the crews for the work. I don't know where they all were from, but whether it were from the state, from U.S., or from volunteers, whatever. Thank you guys who were involved in the fire maintenance.
Yeah, and even some of the local businesses, I know we're feeding them.
Them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly right. You know, again, it took the whole community in many respects to kind of come together and fight that. And I saw a report earlier that said that they think it was intentionally set.
I heard that as well.
Obviously, investigation will continue to go, but it's shameful in so many ways.
An area that large with as many people as go through, it would be, I would think, immensely difficult to find the culprit. Unless they're just running their mouth somewhere. And a lot of times that happens, and people get caught by their own mistakes.
But to intentionally do something like that, it's one thing, not to justify any type of accident where all of a sudden somebody's a smoker and they throw a cigarette out and that caused that. That's shameful enough as it is. But for somebody to willfully, with intent, to do something like that to destroy property, especially natural property.
And you know, I can't remember. My mom was forest ranger here for 20 years, and I can't remember the last fire we had in the Natural Bridge area, in the gorge. I don't remember. I mean, I know they've had fires, but I just can't remember one of this magnitude at all for a long time. So we've been fortunate. Hopefully the area will recover soon enough. I say this not lightly, but sometimes good things can come out of this, and we'll hopefully that is the case here.
Yeah, where all of a sudden it will die off and then rebirth. Yeah, you know, nature, yes, we'll just like our bodies, itself. Right? You get a cut, and all of a sudden it heals itself. Yeah. Same thing with the forest, despite the length of time that it might take for it to come back after being burned like that. But
that's the scar. It will leave a scar for a while, and it will go back as beautiful as ever, but it will take years to get there.
Yeah, you're exactly right. But anyway, the weather, absolutely beautiful. As David mentioned, the Pirates on the road tonight at Lee County, a key district game for the Pirates as they come in with a record of 11-9 overall. Kind of surprising in some ways as far as their record. I thought the record would be better than that, and they've had some losses that they probably shouldn't have. They probably had some wins that, you know, maybe they caught a break here and there, but I don't think this team has necessarily consistently performed up to their abilities at this point in the season.
This agreed. Again, we have heard how good these kids are for years, how good this group's going to be this year, next year, and a few years to come. I'm not knocking the team. They're still a good team.
Sure.
So, but are they where they should be? Now, again, with all the talk and all the hype leading up, that makes you wonder where you are. Again, I don't think the hitting's where it should be. The pitching looks fairly okay. Defense has been not terrible. I mean, it's maybe one or two errors. Last night was probably a little bit different with three or four errors that they made, but that's probably atypical. I just think, you know, Frank had a difficult schedule to play, as I think is a good thing. To me, 500 is a good record. You know, you play some teams that you're supposed to beat, lose against some teams you should lose to. And by the end of the day, you come out in the district tournament, you're a stronger team. By the regional tournament, you're even stronger. I think that kind of scheduling, at least 2-1 ratios, give you a chance to win 20 and only lose 10, but more likely it's going to be 15-15. Those are kinds of what I've been used to as far as growing up. And you know, we played under Charles Childers, and we never had, I don't think, winning records. But we were always the team to beat in the 14th region. Because it was easier then to travel to Central Kentucky. And we did. And a lot of times you take your lumps going that way. This team has played some teams in Central Kentucky and like Mason County in the All-2A. Played them a couple times home and away. And you see sometimes those teams are pretty strong. And we're not maybe as strong as they are, but we're strong in our region. And again, I just think this team is a little bit better than what they've accomplished so far.
Yeah, and more importantly, regardless of what your overall record is, the key obviously is district play.
District play.
And at this point, they've only lost the one game, and that was to Estill. The Pirates also beat Estill. So at this point, as long as both teams win out, a coin flip or however they will decide who the district number one seed will actually be. But again, competitive as far as them against Estill can go either way. Even the Estill game, they end up losing 4-3. Could have won that game.
Mm-hmm.
Even last night, they could have won the game last night. And too many walks, too many errors, untimely.
Again, I said that last night. We got with too many walks. Then go back and look at the stats. There was only two walks by Dickin and one hit batsman. But what made them magnified is they were all leadoff batters.
And scored.
And all scored. So they all had stolen bases with those walks and hit batsmen. They all scored. That magnifies the walk or the hit batsman. Leadoff. Really, if you just look at a stat line, two walks, not a bad night.
Sure.
But in reality, it was brutal because I think one kid stole second and third twice. One kid went to second, got to third on a wild pitch. One pitch, I think, maybe stole a base, also moved to third on a wild pitch, or maybe scored on a single. But regardless, there were two innings run scored that didn't have a hit. And it was just small ball by Mason County that got those runs in, or mistakes by the Pirates. Just little things, and you're looking really what should have been a 3-2 at max game, 3-3, 4-3. Somewhere in that neighborhood. It shouldn't have been 7-3 at the end of the game. And Powell County almost had a little run there in the seventh inning where they came back. So it was good to see the bats liven up a little bit at the end of the game.
It was, and it's unfortunate that they had opportunities twice. They had runners on third base with just one out, couldn't even get those runs across. That's unfortunate, but it's that kind of breakdown in the hitting game that you need those base hits to get that run across.
Or a great, just a ground ball.
Something, yes.
We didn't get the breaks they did. When they had runners on third, we'd maybe wild pitch them in. They didn't do that.
Right.
And, I'm not blaming anybody individually. It was more of a that's just the way it happened. Again, when I'm coaching with softball, if we want to walk that leadoff batter, I'm going to pull my hair out, because it's that run will score most of the time. I don't care what you're coaching, little league, pony league, major leagues. You walk that leadoff batter, and they're going to score a high percentage of the time. So you're doing the other team a favor when you do that.
Yeah, and it's those situations throughout the season that have occurred for the Pirates.
They add up.
And they add up, and therefore, again, that's the record of 11-9 on the season.
Yeah.
Where, again, some of those games they probably should have won. They could probably all reflect back and realize, if I'd just gotten a base hit here, or maybe not a throwing error or wild pitch or whatever it may have been, maybe it changes things just a little bit. But the Pirates did end up losing that game last night. As David mentioned, 7-3 was the final score against Mason County. They led 1-0 at the end of the first.
Mm-hmm.
The Pirates had a runner at third, bottom of the first, again, couldn't get him across. They did it again. I think by the time we went into the sixth inning, it was only 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, thinking, okay, the Pirates still have a chance, but then they gave up two runs in the sixth.
Yeah,
two runs in the sixth, and then again followed up with two or three runs in the seventh inning. And at that point, a valiant effort to come back. They had their opportunities there. End up making an incredible play. Their outfielder get a ball in the outfield, threw it on a rope basically at home, and get a tag out on a play that was out number two.
Coaches will send that runner 95 times out of 100.
Yeah,
and they'll be safe 90 times out of that 95. So
kid just made a great play.
He made a nice throw. It was right on the money.
Yeah,
perfect tag by the catcher and perfect timing. It had to be all of that to get that runner to plate. So.
I thought, honestly, from my perspective and even my call, I thought he was going to easily be safe. And next thing you know, that ball got there quick and the tag was on. And it was a good call. He was out at home. Yeah, he was out at home. But still, just all of a sudden, it was like I can almost see him sliding. And it was almost like slow motion. Like when it happened, all of a sudden, it was like, oh, in my head, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, like he's going to be a play at the plate, like really that close. And it was. And again, they put the tag. But again, you have to give credit where credit's due. The kid made a great play.
Well, and you know what the thing about it is, though? I teach my kids, and I'm not sure how Mason Kane teaches it. That run should have scored standing up.
True.
Because he should have even tried to run at the plate. He should be throwing the ball to second base, hold on from going to second base. Really, I mean, that you don't let the next runner advance up. You stop that guy at second, give him a run. So what? It doesn't matter.
At that point, because it wasn't necessarily a game changer.
Right. So, again, you look at the play. The kid made a nice play. Now, whether fundamentally that was the right play, I don't know. Was there anybody out at the time?
No. We had one out. Yeah, we had one out.
So,
yeah.
To me, with one out, you give them the run, throw it to second, don't let them have the extra base.
Right.
So, and Frank probably got that in the back of his head, too. They're probably not going to throw home. Just go ahead and go, and we'll score the run. So, fundamentally, probably not the right thing to do, but it made it work, and he made a great throw at the plate. And we didn't pay the price. After that, we got a double. Would have scored at least that one run and taken out off the board, and maybe 7-5. They probably still win the game, but Powell County would have made it really interesting right there at the end of the game. But, sometimes you just say hats off to the other team and congratulations, good job, because you can't knock Mason County for what they did, because they pitched a good game, played defense a good game. They played the better game.
Up until the seventh inning. But at that point, the Pirates started to make contact with the ball.
Hard contact.
Yeah, started to get those base hits. I think it was a leadoff triple. Was that?
I can't
remember either.
I threw my stuff away even, but the way we started was, I think, hit a pitch or a walk. Started the inning, and then back-to-back hits, and all of a sudden they're taking the pitcher out of the game. I think that's
yeah.
And then after they changed pitchers, it was
their first baseman
Thacker that just ripped one to right center on the double. And again, that would have scored that run that if you held him up. But really, there is no reason to hold him up because, like I said, most of the time the other teams aren't even throwing there. But again, he would have scored on the next play. Makes you think. But again, I don't think Mason was going to lose that game at that point in time. They changed their pitchers, get another guy in. They all threw. We looked at their ERAs last night. They had six pitchers with ERAs under three, which is pretty nice. So. Doesn't matter where they go, but I know Powell County's had a decent week leading up to, and we'll go back to more just the one game, I guess.
So, actually, I guess the last game that we had, we'll go with the Estill games. So, back on the 18th, Powell traveled to Estill County, ended up winning that game 10-9. Pirates jumped out early, you know, and then Estill came back really in the bottom of the seventh and made a game of it. But the Powell County ended up winning that one. Then they followed that. That was on a Tuesday. Came back on Wednesday, and the Pirates hosted Estill County. Estill County ended up winning that game 4-3.
Walk-off homer. Well, not a walk-off. Just a home run on top of seventh.
Yeah, and at that point, I mean, what are you going to do, right? Kid, left-handed batter, gets up, right pitch, right opportunity. Hits it over right field, and that's how they end up winning that game. But still, nonetheless, competitive one-run games between both of them, so they're kind of neck and neck in that regard.
Yeah, those two teams pretty even.
And then the Pirates on the 20th, they went to Owsley County. They won 16-0 in three innings. And then we had the Montgomery County game, which was this past Friday. The Pirates ended up losing 9-8. Kind of a similar scenario as far as
ahead early.
And then at that point, then you let them kind of come back, and then they ended up taking the lead, and the Pirates kind of came back in the bottom of the seventh and just couldn't get enough runs across. But I don't know if all of a sudden if it's the pitching that the Pirates are seeing in those later innings, if it's just the, you know, things are clicking for them. I'm not quite sure, but they have a tendency, though, in that bottom of the seventh inning when they're at home to find a way to manufacture multiple runs.
Well, I think this team, like we've said, is better than the record. You've played a lot of close games. You've played a lot of games that could have went either way.
Yeah.
So they could have easily been, you know, 16-4. I mean,
sure.
They're that close to being pretty good. They just got to just make a few less errors, pitch a little bit better, and hit better. And we talked about hitting before the season even started because of last year's run at the region where you get the regional championship game. And in the entire three games region, you get four hits.
And somehow managed to win.
And we're talking about the championship game, you got to hit.
Right.
I think late in the game. But to get to that point and only have the four hits, it's amazing what they accomplished at the end of the year with their pitching and defense. This team's got to hit. I believe this team is better hitters than what they're doing. The strikeout numbers are too high. When we face quality pitching, we strike out way too much instead of putting the ball in play.
And it makes you wonder, are they not seeing it coming off the hand? Are they just misreading it? Or are they, you know, chasing after pitches they wouldn't in other games?
I mean,
what's the difference maker?
I've tried to watch and look at things that I would maybe change, and I'm not really sure what it would be other than I know they like to crowd the plate, and it seems like to me they get jammed a lot, and that's a problem. They're chasing a lot of high pitches and not hitting those. So I think a lot of people have went up the ladder. And again, and our girls, I'll even say this about us. We've had some issues of chasing the high ball. And if you're going to chase it, you better know how to hit it. And it's a different philosophy. You got to keep those hands. You got to keep those hands up. You got to stay level here. The bat can drop, but the hands stay high. What I'm seeing out of even both the teams is a little bit of dropping their hands and kind of trying to come up at the ball. You're less likely to hit it.
Yeah, it's going to be by you by the time the bat gets there.
So I just think it's approach with the hands. I think both teams, you know, my team as well as the boys as well, I think a little bit of a hands going down a little too much and coming up too much. I think we can still come up, but we've got to get that bat angle a little bit different, a little too flat going through the zone.
And sometimes when you're down, you're trying harder. Yeah. Than if you're up. If you're up, you're more relaxed, right? We're winning. Therefore, it's a little bit easier to have an at-bat where all of a sudden you're down, you're trying to make something happen, and you're almost forcing the action a little bit and taking those swings at pitches you wouldn't normally swing at because, again, you're trying to make something happen as opposed to just the same approach.
And so you got to hit as the game's being called. So, I'm not saying umpires control the game, but they are going to dictate what the strike zone is. And most we can say the strike zone is from the bottom of the knee to the armpits if we want to. That's not usually the case. Normally it's from, and I was a low ball umpire when I called. It was a little bit below the hosel of the knee, but we also went a little above the waistline, but not above, not much. And I like to give kids corners. Like a ball outside is probably going to be close enough to get you a strike. As long as any piece of that ball gets any part of that plate, it's supposed to be a strike.
Yeah.
Let's give it to them. I think we needed more hitters, a hitter's game out there. So I just think it's approach. When I watch the boys preseason, I see them hit off the tees a lot. I see them, front toss and do the right things upstairs. And I don't know how much they do. Like season wise, I don't know. So I'm not going to say what they do. I know we struggled on Monday against Lee County's pitcher with the rise ball. So our practice Tuesday was one thing, one thought. Hands are going to stay up and we're going to try to approach that high pitch a little bit differently. And if we swing at it, I don't want to swing at it, but if we're going to swing, this is how the swing is made. So to me, T work is how you fix.
Sure.
How you fix problems. I know a lot of people say, I can't believe you still use a tee. Well, I mean, if major leaguers still use them.
And they
do. Colleges still use them every day. And probably, I mean, these guys hitting off tees constantly. Because you can't replicate that. You can't slow that swing down enough and hit any other ball than on the tee. So, I think you have to have the tee work. And even if you've got a little glitch, fix it. And that's where it gets fixed. Repetition. And a lot of swings on the tee.
Yeah. And ultimately, it goes back to what we were talking about as far as, like, the hitting of this team. And not that some of them don't have respectable averages because
they do.
Yeah, they do. It goes back to those at-bats when you're striking out and you have a runner on third and then the next guy comes out and gets a ground out and you're not advancing that runner to score him. But again, the next inning, you might get a single, but at that point, nobody behind you is necessarily potentially producing. So again, it goes back to when the base runners are on, who's behind them, making solid contact. We didn't hit the ball very well last night. A lot of infield hits.
Well, you know, what I see too, though, is the other teams when I've watched, and I've only done three games, and that's my entire snapshot of the season is those three games. I see the other pitchers when they get a runner on from Powell County. Man, they really bow their necks. And I'm not saying our kids aren't. But, man, you got to really just bear down right there. Maybe throw it just a touch harder. Throw a little bit better pitch here. You really got to focus and not let that runner advance. Last night we talked about Dickin. A little bit slow to the plate. The runners are signaling on him, not Hood. That's something that you can work on the side. You work on that today or tomorrow, not his next throw day. But you work on a move. You try to develop a quicker path to the plate. In baseball, it's a lot different than softball. The release you go, I mean, it's pretty simple. In baseball, every pitcher's going to have a different time. And every coach usually got a stopwatch to how fast it takes that pitcher to go from start to the ball touching that mitt. And if it's around 2.3 seconds or 2 seconds, you're running because most guys are going to be there in two. So, they'll be able to time it and know whether or not they can steal bases. And last night, they stole most of their bases without even a throw.
Yeah, and we talked about tendencies,
yeah.
Right? If you're a good player, a disciplined player, before I'm getting up to the plate, I'm watching the pitcher consistently as he's throwing. Now, if I notice that somebody's on base, I'm watching his tendencies as far as the timing and everything else in order to take advantage. A couple of times, not that it was predictable, but a couple times you're just like, oh, they have a runner on first. Oh, after a couple of pitches, he's probably going
to
go.
Well, yeah. You got to get the timing down. You got to know, make sure it's going to the plate.
Yeah.
But that's what the coach is over there for. You know, he's got the stopwatch. He knows the time of the pitcher. He knows how fast you are. He's got all the information in his head, so he knows that information. If we get a good jump, there's no way they throw you out. That's just kind of what you already know going in. So that's how it's done. It's not a complicated thing. It's just, but you got to work to get better at it. And and Lacy's going to be a really good pitcher.
Yeah,
we're just throwing out one weakness he needs to work on, and I know the coaches know that already. It just takes usually the off season to work on those things. You can't fix everything midseason, but you can work on it and get better and be working toward a goal in the future. So, again, that's where we are right now. So, right now, Powell County will play. It's playing Lee County. If someone lets us know how they're doing, if you're listening to us, which I doubt, but if anybody can let us know how the game is going out of Lee County, please let us know. We'll take a break here on PCS, and I'll be back in a moment.
Protect Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Powell County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
With Whitaker Bank's new home equity line of credit, qualified applicants can borrow up to 90% of their home's value with no closing costs. With Whitaker Bank's home equity line of credit, you only pay back 1% of your balance monthly, and you process your withdrawals with Whitaker Electronic Banking. Stop by Whitaker Bank and see how our new home equity line of credit can help you. Whitaker Bank proudly supports your Powell County Pirates. Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.
Count on Clark Regional Medical Center for quality health care close to home. It's why we're here, providing compassionate, personalized care whenever you may need it, so you, your family, and our community can all thrive. Because no matter where you are in life, nothing is more important than your health. Clark Regional Medical Center, from the routine to the unforeseen. Count on us. Learn more at clarkregional.org.
Since opening in 1972, Citizens Guarantee Bank has been there to help our customers enhance their lives and achieve their dreams. With 7 locations across central and eastern Kentucky today, we are celebrating 50 years of being there for the communities we call home. Citizens Guarantee Bank is now CG Bank. New name, same commitment to being there for our neighbors. CG Bank, we've been there for that. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
New driveway, parking lot, or large aggregate need? Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in all things crushed aggregate. They provide expert delivery and more, depending on size of application. Call Natural Bridgestone today at 606-663-2815 or Tipton Ridge Quarry at 606-723-4881 or find out more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvin.
Welcome back. We got to give Ken a little bit longer break, especially when we run along anyway. A little congestion. Would like to mention as well a couple of the state leaders. That's up on the KHSA website. You can go looking for it yourself. Tops of the state, Powell County, Austin Begley is 47th. In home runs with 3. And then the team is 47th in runs scored. So, you know, we talked about this team's offense has not been as good as what it should be. They're still top 50 in the state of Kentucky. So they're scoring runs. You know, if you're beating some of the teams badly and you're getting a lot of your runs there, that could be part of it, and not enough runs against your quality teams. I'm not sure what the breakdown is, but regardless, you're 47th in the state in runs scored with 149. So things could be a lot worse for the Pirates. I just think that, I guess, everybody we've heard about this group of kids for, 5 years, about where they're going to be probably by this year, and they're probably not reaching that level of expectation. So there's a lot of pressure on this group because of what's been predicted for this group. I've learned not to listen to any of that as far as a coach. They're going to be their kids. They're going to be what they are. But, you know, you hear the fans talk about this group on how quality they are, and they've just probably not hit their peak.
Yeah, they should be. Yeah, and there's a couple of players who haven't necessarily produced like they did last year.
That is correct.
And therefore, you know, again, regardless of what the reasoning is, and of course, there's that ebb and flow, even nationally, you know, professional players. Sometimes all of a sudden somebody hits, you know, 300. Next thing you know, next season they're down to 240. And it's just like, oh, well, what happened? Who knows? Whether it's the pitches they're not seeing.
The pitches.
It can be any number of things, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're just – hitting is not easy.
Yeah, if you're hitting 3 out of 10, then that's great, right?
You're doing a good job.
Yeah,
right?
You're doing a good job, yeah.
You know, anymore, in high school baseball and high school softball, either one, 300 should be the low mark. I mean, really – They you know, 260, 270 is probably still okay. But, you know, 2 or 3 times out of 10, you should be putting the ball in play enough to where you're at least getting on. I look more at on-base percentage than I do batting averages. I think if kids are getting on base and they're scoring runs and they're producing, regardless how they get, that means they're either putting the ball in play a lot or they're taking walks. Whatever it may be, if you've got a high on-base percentage, you're getting the job done. You know, I'll look at those numbers today, and we don't have anybody in batting average numbers as far as softball or baseball, either one that's up there. But I look at some of these teams, I'm thinking, what are you all scoring as base hits? Because when you're hitting 700, I'm thinking, just because you get on base don't mean it's a hit.
True.
You know, I mean, I'm a little more picky than that. And I'm sure Rick Riggs is more picky than that for the, you know, bookkeeper for baseball. So, every ball you roll down to third base line and they don't play is not necessarily a hit. So,
and or not even necessarily an error.
Not
right. You know, I mean, and obviously that can excuse some of your
though, right?
Yeah. You're either potentially it could be an error and you're going to score to hit. Right. And at that point, somebody's average is going to be higher.
Yeah. If it's, you know, we've talked about that for years. You know, it's not a standard. Even in Major League Baseball, it's not the same. Everybody's a little different. So. As far as those are concerned, we'll just take the numbers as far as what they are. So we'll switch gears here and talk about the Lady Pirates softball. I know we got other sports. We'll mention them just maybe a little bit here toward the end. We got, you know, bass fishing still going on this spring. I know Julie's got a big meet coming up, I think, next weekend. And we also got track and field going on. So I just don't have a lot of information about those events right now.
So the Lady Pirates, coached by David Faulkner, coming in with a record of 13-8 on the season, which in many respects, I think that's very respectful. Obviously, you've already won more games than you did last year, maybe even last year and the year before.
Combined,
yeah. But on one hand, though.
Sadly, you're right. We have.
But this team, though, you can just tell the camaraderie, the way that they interact with each other. I think you're solid defensively. The players that you have, when they're on offensively, they're on. When they're not chasing after those pitches, they would normally do that. And sometimes they have those tendencies, but when they are patient at the plate, good things happen for this team.
We've worked really hard. I know Megan worked really hard in the offseason in conditioning, getting the kids ready on all the open gyms. Had a lot of participation, and that's thanks to the kids and her for doing all that. We got the kids in the cage. We worked a lot on hitting and a lot of tee work and a lot of soft toss and just a lot of just really structured hitting drills. And we just a plethora of hitting drills that we try to work on with the same approach. I mean, all the kind of drills kind of build up to one swing. And then we've had some changes in some of our defensive drills. And We put one defensive drill in that's just really simple, and I don't know if it's just coincidence or what it is. I think it drill is a part of it, because the kids now, they won't even ask me for doing the drill. They want to do the drill because they, I think they're seeing
the dividends,
the results.
Yeah, it's paying
and,
off.
And we've played, knock on wood, we've played three straight games without an error. And for our team, that's pretty phenomenal. Also, on the flip side of that, we've got our pitching in the middle of the season. Dessa Foster has really found some things. And she has been a difference maker. You know, we'll talk about the last few games. We'll kind of go over that. But, you know, she's, you know, found a couple of pitches that we really like. We're able to get some people out. And even people we saw earlier in the season. If you saw her early, you probably don't want to see her now. I mean, it's just
totally not going to be the same pitcher.
No. We played Lee County, almost a month and a half ago. And it was a totally different game for both pitchers. You know, final score 16-13. They scored 9 runs, I think, off Dessa in the first inning and the third. And she was done for the night. And then, I mean, they hit her hard. They walks and they hit her hard a couple times. We played the other night, and they got 3 hits, and it was all spaced out. You know, she did walk a couple, and probably a couple too many. But in the big scheme of things, the defense behind her made plays. And last year that wasn't the case. If we walked people, we made errors behind that, and then everything just kind of, you know, hit the ball rolling. And the couple games we've lost here in the last couple weeks, that's been the case. If we do have a couple walks, then followed by the air, it kind of snowballs.
Compounds itself. Yeah,
and you just can't do that. It's just what we're talking about the boys. If it happens, it happens, but it's something that sometimes you're not going to rebound from that.
Yeah, and you have to clean that up, right, yes. and reduce that. And obviously she's gotten better, including your team. And I think, if anything, they continue to gain confidence.
I think so. Now, I got a couple kids right now that aren't confident swinging the bat. And like I said, we worked on a drill yesterday that I think will help them if they listen. And so far they've been – here's the thing. Last year we went 4 games. If you see a little success, maybe some stuff's working. So now we're listening better.
Sure.
You know, so it's a little bit easier. The kids are wanting to learn. They're wanting to – even the older kids know that they're doing something wrong. They won't help. And if they won't help, we can fix it. And that's a big part of it. If you – don't want help and you're not doing well, that's a problem. But if you want help, if you're not doing what you want to do, then we're going to give it to you. Now you're going to be more susceptible to getting that help. So that's where we hope we are. These kids are, like I told you last year, I love this group of kids, period. We won 4 games and I was disappointed we didn't make it to the regional tournament. But I had fun with this group of girls. I really do care about this group. And I think that among itself, plus the work they have put in, they wanted a successful season. And right now some things are clicking. Hopefully we don't peak too early. We got, you know, a couple more games left this week, weather permitting. You know, next week's going to be kind of a weird one because we got a couple games, then we're going on our senior trip. So we'll be without our seniors for a couple games, but that being said, we'll be back enough games for the following week to where they can get back in the flow and get some good games in the last week of the season, and you know, hopefully everything comes out okay.
Yeah, and I think even with this team as the example, so you lost to Estill County here at home. The final score was 10-3, and actually the 2 days before you ended up defeating Owsley County 12-5, but the Estill County game. So you lose that game. Again, a couple of mistakes here and there, but a couple of the girls, as we were tearing down the equipment, were in the stands behind me or whatever else, and I kind of walked up to them and was like, look, put it behind you. You lost the game, right? Own it. You lost the game, but put it behind you. You get them in the tournament, and at that point, move on and get on a win streak, right? Because at that point, you almost have to forget it. Yeah, you want the sting of the loss to settle in, but at the same time, you have to quickly kind of put it behind you and move on. And at that point, though, now you've gone on a 3-game win streak.
Yeah, if you look at the line score of the game, it's we got about as many hits as they did. It's just about getting them at the right times. We walked too many, and we had a couple calls, and you saw them as well, that just weren't good calls. And the first time they led to three runs, and that kind of put us, we were 1-1, or maybe even had the lead. Oh, I think we're 1-1.
1-1.
And then we had that 3-run inning, and they shouldn't have scored a run if my umpiring was right on the calls. If that inning doesn't happen that way, if it doesn't turn out to be they really scored three, we're a different mindset, and that game could have been much different. I'm not saying we win the game, but the whole process is different. Even they scored four runs in the seventh. At that point, we're not scoring six against them, and we wound up getting a couple more runs there in the bottom. Like I said, if things don't happen differently in that one inning, that's a closer game than you realize. And maybe you're focusing a little bit more. Maybe you're trying a little bit harder. Maybe you're trying to do some things differently. But
sometimes it can be mentally defeating because you realize there was a huge mistake that was made that wasn't corrected. And at that point, now you've given up three runs. You're just like, oh.
When you make a play and you don't get rewarded for making a play, it hurts. And in that one inning, I thought we got the same girl out twice. So that's five outs we gave you. If we're going to give you outs, and I've told you, I've told everybody that we have to play a perfect game to beat Estill. They are who they are. They're a good, solid team, and they're not going to beat themselves much. But if we could play a game clean, and what I'm saying that is make plays. Don't walk people. And we can do what we're supposed to do with the bat. We can play that game. But again, we got to have even the calls that are made. And I'm not saying they were done for any erroneous reason. It's just, I think they just missed the calls that they missed. And, they made one call that I thought was really bad that didn't matter. After the whole thing played out, it didn't matter if it was a bad call or not because the result was the same. But then one inning, it was the two calls I thought that cost us that put us in a little uphill battle. But again, that game didn't matter as much because of what happened prior to and what we're after. Because we did play Owsley and got that win, so we knew we had the advantage going in over the try to get the two seed. At that point, all you have to do is either beat Estill and Lee or just beat Lee. And not that's easy to do, but then we played them. What was it? Not four last, right?
Yeah.
And Presley Cundiff was really good on Monday night. And I thought Dessa was just as good. She gave up the one run in the first inning on a hit by pitch, move her over, get her in. And one of those kind of deals where we talk about the baseball team, that leadoff runner gets on, they're usually going to score. But that was it. That's as far as they got. I think they got the three hits spread out. And, our Lady Pirates got the job done, played good defense, made some nice plays. Foster pitched good enough. I don't think she was as on against Lee, only giving up three hits, as she was on against Paris and
Nicholas.
No, Paris.
Or Morgan.
And Morgan, a couple games before. She had a no-hitter versus Paris on Friday. We beat them 10-0, and a two-hitter on Saturday.
Against Morgan. Yeah. 10-0, back-to-back 10-0 games.
Yeah, back-to-back 10-0 games, and she pitched really well. Our defense played well. We got enough hits to matter. I don't think we hit the ball like we had been. And then it showed this week where against Lee, Cundiff was just really good. I mean, you got to give that kid credit. She's just a nice player for Lee County and one of the best pitchers in the region. It's just, but to get a win over her 5-1, we just scratched out runs. Like Mason County did early last night was what we did to Lee, and five was enough to get it done that night.
Well, to go 16-13 in your first time, and then to go 5-1 the second time around. I mean, for both teams,
I don't think Cundiff was as good early as like Dessa wasn't as good early. I think both these two pitchers have really got their game honed in now, and both these two pitchers right now are pitching really well. And I don't know what the outcome is going to be at Lee County tonight. Owsley plays Lee. They still have to play one more game other than tonight, and that will pretty much decide the 3-4 seed. The 1-2 has been decided. We'll just have to figure out who the 3 and 4 are.
Yeah, at this point, you've completed your district matchups against everybody.
Estill's completed, I believe, and now it's just up to Lee and Owsley.
Yeah, and the only losses that you've had in district play were the two games to Estill County.
Right.
So at this point, you guys will be at Berea, scheduled for tomorrow, 6 o'clock. The way that the rain's coming through, it may or may not happen.
I'm hoping it's light rain early and we can maybe get the game in before the heavier stuff hits. It looks like the rain is going to last most of the night after it gets there. And then maybe, I think Friday looks pretty good now. It didn't look good earlier, but it looks better now than it did. But maybe Friday night late's a good another chance for storms or just some scattered storms, I think, on Friday. Hopefully for senior night we can get it done. Boys senior night as well. It's a busy it's a busy night on Friday. It is baseball senior night, track senior night, and I think they're sharing with baseball and softball senior night at our field all this Friday.
And that's unfortunate in many respects. It is. You know, again, that all of them at the same time. And that game will actually be against Model on Friday night. And then going into next week, on May the 1st, you travel to Wolf County, and then you host Nicholas County on the 2nd.
And again, those are some games where Wolf County, I think, was a game we played close, 8-6, I believe it was, early in the season. And that was a game I don't think our pitching was on. I think we're a much better team than we were then.
Believe it or not, it was 18-12.
Wolf
County game.
Okay,
yep.
Sorry, 18-12. That's where we scored a lot of runs late. They had us beat twice by 10, right? And we kept clawing back into it. Yeah, I remember that game now. But I don't think their pitching was what it – or our hitting was really good, one of the two. I don't remember which one. But they hit the ball really well. But I don't think our pitching at that point is where it is now. So we'll see how much the improvement, maybe, or not, on Monday night with Wolf County. Nicholas County is the same way. That's the game that got away from us 4-3 over there. Like to play that team a little bit closer. Mike Johnson, he's their coach. He does a really good job. He downplays how good they are. They got a really nice pitcher. But next week's pitching schedule, pitching lineup against us, we're seeing some really good pitching next week or the last week of the season. Going against Wolf, going against Nicholas. And then I think Thursday night, Breathitt maybe?
McGoffin.
No, I'm talking about the last week.
Oh, the last week. Yeah, Breathitt, and then you play Model again, and then Tate's Creek.
Yeah, so that last week with, man, I'm telling you, some really good pitching going into the tournament hopefully is a good thing for us. So we're going to see some good arms in the next 2 weeks. So if we can get a couple wins and make us feel a little bit better about ourselves and going through that stretch, it's going to be a tough stretch for us. But the pitching should really get us ready for district tournament.
And again, the way that the girls continue to show improvement at different times, they've matured as the season has gone along. And I think in some ways, as far as, again, going back to the team chemistry, you could tell they had that early on.
Yeah.
Now it was just a matter of getting some of those wins and back-to-back wins, and all of a sudden now that confidence level goes up, and now that success of the off season and during the games is paying dividends. And obviously they seem to be enjoying themselves as well. Nobody wants to lose.
Right.
And not that they're enjoying themselves with a loss, but yet when they're winning, you can just see that. I mean, it's almost like they'd rather go and let's play another one.
Well, this bunch of kids, I really like them. And it's not like just the starters. I got kids that would start and probably should be starting for us this year that are playing really well. And I've got a couple that are really hurt. I do want to send some shout-outs real quick. I got a couple kids that are down right now. Sophie McKinney is in the hospital. She right now got a back issue, and send her thoughts and prayers out to Sophie. Great kid. I hope everything goes well. Deanna Crow, who's had a knee injury, had a torn ACL. That's been fixed, and hopefully she's back and ready to go next year. And, you know, it's just some of those things where we got some kids that, you know, aren't going to get to play that I hope get better. And had another one, I think, as well, had some issues that, you know, I'm not going to mention, but I'd like to send, you know, all of our kids, they got some stuff going on. We got some issues with the team now, so keep those kids in your thoughts and prayers. We'd like to ask for that. So, you know, like I said, got some tough stuff, and these kids are human, and They have lives other than softball too, so we like to, you know, just send them our best. Would like to mention, as we did earlier with the boys, some top stat leaders in the state this year, and we have actually several. Once I kind of dived in, looked at it, second in the state is in walks is Cheyenne Gearhart with 22 walks on the season. I'm telling you, she just knows how to get on base. I got to get her more confident in swinging the bat, but 22 walks. She knows what the strike zone is most of the time. This one is a big one for us. It's tied for sixth in the state is Ellen Napier with 40 RBIs, and that is four off the school record.
Wow.
So we got, 10, 12 games left to go, and she's four off the school record and tied for sixth in the state as an eighth grader. Pretty phenomenal. Run scored tied for 18th is Chloe Grader with 35. Also with stolen bases, she's tied for 32nd with 20. And she's also had 20 consecutive stolen bases, which is a few away from making the record list as well. So, and then Dessa Foster is 36th in the state in strikeouts with 110. And the one category that you really don't want to make necessarily be in, but it shows how much of a workhorse she is. She is 49th in the state with innings pitched with 88. So I looked at this year's stats and last year's stats, and she has thrown almost identical to what we did the full season last year. Of course, we only played 21 or 22 games last year. We've already played about the same number this year. So, again, the inning total is almost the same, which is a good thing. Team-wise, we are 11th in the state in runs scored at 208. We are 34th in the state in hits with 200. We are 48th in the state in doubles with 36, and no individuals in the top in doubles. But the team has 36. It's a nice number. And in RBIs, we're 28th in the state with 150 RBIs. So going from four wins to seeing this success, I got to praise my kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Kudos, again, for the hard work that they're putting in.
And my coaches. I mean, they've all done a good job as well.
Absolutely, so, sure.
I can't. These kids get all the accolades, and my coaches, I give them the credit for everything we've got done this year. So keep it going. Let's
come yeah, couple weeks ago. Absolutely. And again, obviously the way that this team is structured, the hard work that they've put in, continue to put in. Again, you're on a three-game winning streak at this point. And actually, I think you've won four out of your last five, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so. Yeah.
At that point, they're confident. They're believing in themselves. And you can see that change within them. And they seem to be having fun.
Well, it's fun to win.
Of course it is. Absolutely.
This group of girls is, and I've said this for years, I think we're much better than the record has been over the last, I'm going to say 5 years. I thought we were better teams than what our record has indicated. We just haven't got the job done. So I'll put that on me. But this year, this group's having fun and wanting more for themselves, and they're getting it done. So I'll give credit for my kids. I'm proud of them. I love them to death. Yeah, they're going to do some little things the next couple weeks, maybe push my patience a little bit, but that's okay. I'm still gonna love them, and we'll all be fine at the end of the day.
And success breeds success.
Let's hope so. And again, this group deserves it just as well as our boys do, and our track team, and everybody else that's out there. They're all working hard to get to a place, and let's hope we all get there. And again, we're gonna take a break, come back, and talk about the district dates and broadcast schedule as well here on PCSN Live.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton, proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Your Stanton Dairy Queen Grill and Chill is the stop on the way to the game. Double cheeseburgers, chicken baskets, blizzards, sundaes, and so much more. Cold ale 8 on tap. The legendary biscuits and gravy served all day, and ice cream cakes for any occasion or just for dessert. Open Monday through Thursday, 5:30 in the morning to 10 p.m., Friday and Saturday, 5:30 a.m. to 11 at night, and on Sundays, 7 to 10. That's your Stanton Dairy Queen Grill and Chill. Fan food, not fast food.
Stanton DQ is looking for smiling faces to join their team. Apply in person today.
Ace Hardware, East College Avenue, Stanton, want to wish the best for your Powell County Pirates at their sporting events, in their academics, at home, or wherever life takes them. Next time you need an item for your lawn or garden, building needs, small or large project, plumbing, electrical, tools, including Craftsman, DeWalt, Husqvarna, and so much more. Remember your Ace Hardware, right here in Stanton, East College Avenue, Ace, the helpful place.
At Wells Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. One such opportunity is the funeral or memorial service. Such a loving event celebrates the choices they made, the relationship you shared, and honors the memory of your loved one. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event. Contact us today to discuss the possibilities. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
And welcome back here with PCSN Live with David Ken. And now we're going to go over the schedule. We can't give you the teams yet, but we can give you speculative of what is confirmed as of now.
So we'll start with softball since that's the first thing. And this is on the WSKV sports page. The 56th District Tournament will be in Lee County. It'll be at the Happy Top Complex there in Beattyville. And the first game will be Monday, May the 15th at 5:30. That will have the one seed versus the four seed. And then 30 minutes after that game will be the number two seed and the number three seed. And then the championship will be on Tuesday at 6 o'clock. Again, all of those games for girls softball at the Happy Top Complex.
Yeah, we can for sure say only this. Estill County is the one. Powell County is the two. So as far as broadcast purposes, and I'm not sure how they're doing this, because this is going to get tricky because with baseball. I guess we'll do the baseball schedule first, and then we'll talk about how we're going to.
So for baseball, kind of interesting, again, in Lee County, but it's at Lee County Elementary. So the baseball will be Lee County Elementary, Monday, May the 15th. The time still yet to be determined. The first game, there's only one game that night, the one versus the four. And then on Tuesday, May the 16th, time to be determined, the two versus three. And then Thursday, May the 18th, the championship game. So again, the boys, 1 versus 4, May the 15th, 2 versus 3, May the 16th, and then the championship, May the 18th.
And what we can tell you is Powell and Estill are tied for 1 and 2. Every who wins the coin flip will be the 1. Every who loses the coin flip will be the 2. But also we do know that Estill County will play Monday
the 15th,
regardless.
Correct, of seed. Right. Now, if it's the 2-3, then that game would switch to Monday. And then the 1-4 would go to Tuesday. So depending on how the coin flip goes, which day Esther will actually play.
And I think that park does not have lights, which is the while you only have the one game. Am I correct?
Correct, yes.
So that game, I would think, they're going to have to play that one at 5:30. I would think with no lights, you want to get the game completed. And I would think if they could start at 5:30.
Surely.
You could maybe get it done, but which may cause Estill and Powell both maybe let the kids leave a little early, because it's going to push those kids to get there ready to play, and you don't want their kids to get out there where they're not ready to go. You want to give them opportunity to get loose, do the normal routines on the side, and then play the game. So that's
we've talked about that even in football.
Yeah,
sometimes you're having to travel for an hour and a half to get to a facility, and all of a sudden you're expected to get off the bus and be ready to get out there on the. Can't happen. It doesn't happen. But anyway, schedule times again at 5:30, Lee County Elementary for Well, baseball.
Schedule time is yet to be determined, but
we're assuming it'll probably be 5:30.
I would think 5:30 at the latest 6 o'clock. But that puts into the problem, as we talked about last night at off the air with you, myself, and Ethan. We're talking about logistics. If Estill is playing at Happy Top and Estill is playing at the elementary school, are two Estill County crews doing those two games?
That's a good point. And there's part of the dilemma as far as coverage. Would one be Facebook Live and then the other all of a sudden now becomes radio?
The Facebook Lives could also be done, right?
Could, yes. I'm assuming we could probably do two different separate streams, and just one would actually be on radio and the other one would just be Facebook Live.
To me, what would be logical this time, maybe you do the Estill whoever game on Monday and at the Estill County crew cover baseball, unless they want to do the flip and do whatever. But maybe you could go do baseball, but then you got to maybe come right back and do the softball.
It's going to be tricky. So, going to be tricky from a logistical point for the radio station as far as our coverage. We will be covering. It's just a matter of once we figure out the true times and the seating, as far as who's actually in that, then that'll determine our broadcast schedule. So
stay tuned.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we still got a couple more weeks to go, but regardless.
The game tonight with Lee and Owsley with the girls. You've got the game that with Pat and Lee with the boys. Not sure about the other teams. I know the softball will not be decided until next week at the earliest, around Wednesday, Thursday. So I don't think we'll probably know anything. And you might know by next Wednesday at PCSN Live. We'll have to see. But if it puts us back here, let you know, we'll do that. But check the website, but you don't have to check it till probably at least next Wednesday.
Yeah, and I will throw this out as well, that softball, the regional, is at Letcher County Central, and for the baseball, it's at Perry County Central.
And I think they're doing a split from what I understood yesterday. Yes, I think Perry is, but I think there's going to maybe be two host sites for round one.
Okay.
So, again, we'll have to kind of...
And that could be Perry County Central and Hazard.
Yeah.
Yes, as far as being host, depending on how things go.
It's my understanding, but we'll have to kind of see that if it happens. But we'll kind of keep you posted as much as we can. I do think Pal and Estill will both be in the region in baseball. Where you're playing is, depending on your draw. So we'll have to see, again, to be determined.
Exactly. So make sure that you stay tuned. Our next broadcast will be Friday. The boys playing host to Knott County Central. Again, hate the fact that senior nights and senior night, unfortunately it happens. But again, we're going to be covering the boys baseball game at Knott County Central.
Yeah, and again, big rivalry there. That's a normal regional game. Our game is only one varsity game on Friday, so we thought it was perfect to do our senior night. That way we just roll right into dinner and have a little thing in the cafeteria. So, again, thanks for all the getting that ready for us. But stay tuned to Powell County Softball, Powell County Baseball, and support the teams. Support your track team and your bass team as they go out and get some work done, too, this spring. So, again, all the middle school sports, don't forget those guys as well. They're also out there working hard for us. So, thanks for everybody. The parks are running with Little League. Man, it's a busy time of year right there in the city park. All those games going on. So, again, thank you guys for working hard. Appreciate you listening to us here on PCSN Live.
Thank you for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKB app for Android and Apple users. Don't forget, tonight's program is available on our on-demand player at listenlikealocal.com. Powell County Sports Network would like to thank their sponsors, Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Park Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Physical Therapy.
Your Stanton Tourism.